Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points, and I'm your host, MG. A lot's been happening. The past week, we've seen, you know, I went and saw Ender's Game. Fantastic video. We're going to talk about a movie. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the hour. Red Bear is not with us today. Unfortunately, he's having Ghosts and Goblins trouble. Halloween was not good to the man. But what can you expect? He's not a man. He's a bear. To substitute, instead of doing a music-only show like we did, I think, 2 weeks ago, I do have two, not brand new, but fairly new co-hosts. Temporary for now. Maybe they'll stick around. They're actually two-sevenths of the Experience Points, like, blog team. So we have Cap. Say hello, Cap.
Hello, Cap.
And then we have the great and wonderful, magnificent Brando. Brando, say hello.
Hello, Brando.
Oh, there you go. So they are developers. They are gentlemen and scholars. They got more swagger than 16-bit Mega Man X, if you know what I mean. And we're gonna jump right into it. This week we did a few cool things. We did go see Brandon and I went and saw Ender's Game. Not together. We saw it separately. But have you read the book, Brandon?
I have not read the book.
No? Okay, so you have no idea if it's a good book to movie comparison or conversion.
Right.
Did you like the movie in what it was? Did you like it as a movie?
I liked it separate from the book, yes.
I mean, you've never read the book,
exactly.
So. But
yes.
I mean, was it a good action movie? Did you feel like the pacing was weird and that, like, some things were left out?
I mean, I felt like it explained itself very well. I didn't have any gaps or anything.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
was that supposed to be like a continuation of the Hunger Games, or isn't it the same book series?
No.
Am I completely off?
No. Yeah. You're way.
Am
off.
I way off?
Like, I apologize to the viewers for Cap's inadequacies when it comes to Ender's Game and Hunger Games.
It's
like,
just with books. I don't know books.
So Hunger Games is its own series, and then Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card, fantastic book about a war-torn, I guess, nation, world. Set of economies or whatever, and using the...
They sound totally different, right.
Yeah, I mean, well, I get how they sound the same whenever I just described it like that. I just don't want to give anything away. Anyway, there's space in it, and there's a lot of space. Anyway,
okay, all right.
I'm not going to give anything about the movie. I will say this, if you've read the book and you're worried if it's making a good movie-to-book conversion, you should probably just go see the movie, because it is worth it, though. I don't think that they just stuck to the first book. They didn't just stick to Ender's Game. They went into a little bit of the second and potentially the third book.
To my credit, both have game in the title.
They both have game.
So it threw me off.
And they both have a word in front of game. So I guess
that's not a sequel. I don't know what it
that's
is.
That's not too bad.
How well did you like it compared to the book, though?
So it's been a while since I read the book, but I do remember enough about it to know that some of the things that they said in the movie didn't come up until later in the storyline and the universe. I thought that the movie worked really hard to be respectful to the book, and I felt it did a pretty good job at that. But at the same time, I feel like they moved so fast sometimes in the movie that it started to jump around. And that if you read the book, you filled in the spaces, whether you were thinking that you were doing that, you were trying to or not. You know,
right.
you just sort of patched in the gaps. But if you know someone who had never read the book. And who was not really paying attention.
Yeah.
I don't think it was, I don't think you would have gotten a similar experience. I think you'd have been like, oh yeah, it's good. Certainly the graphics were really good.
Yeah.
But what doesn't look pretty these days? I don't know. I liked it. I liked it overall. I would probably go see it again. I probably will not buy it on Blu-ray, but that's because like it's better as a book. And I feel like until they release two movies, three more movies maybe, until they release the trilogy or whatever they're doing with it, I probably don't need to buy it.
I mean, you're never going to have the same experience that you do with the book and the movie in general.
Right, right. So. And I feel the same way sort of like about Harry Potter, because Harry Potter is, it was a good movie series. Like, I'm not going to discredit the fact that it's obviously got a severely large following of people who love Harry Potter.
Pick your words carefully.
But, well, I know. But when you look at it compared to the books, they left a ton of stuff out of the movie for the sake of pacing, for the sake of timing, for the sake of alternate storylines that are completely or relatively completely unnecessary to the core storyline of the entire Harry Potter like saga, and I do believe it's a saga.
I don't know what dictates a saga. I don't know how many. I don't know that the threshold you have to surpass to
I mean,
be
it
being
had,
saga.
It didn't have. It had.
I know
eight,
trilogy
it had
is
eight
three.
Movies. It had eight movies. Right?
I definitely know. I know. Yes.
I'm not gonna call it
six,
an octology.
It was six movies, and the seventh was split into two parts.
Well, yeah,
because I guess they were. It would be a super
all,
long
all
movie.
All good movies and Twilight do that. So
all good movies and Twilight. You just come. Oh man.
Moving on. This past weekend, I bit the bullet. I installed Windows 8.1. Now both of you,
good
both,
man.
Both of you are developers. You do you Cap? You program on 8.1 or you program
no.
on 7? Okay, 7. So you're a Windows 7 guy. But Brandon, you are 8.1.
Latest and greatest.
Yeah, yes. Latest and greatest. Bleeding edge. You're cutting.
See,
you're,
the best. The best part of this is whenever 8 first came out, Brando didn't like it at all.
That is not
no
true.
No one did. I
that
feel,
is no. That no. is not true.
We even looked at it. I worked with Brando. We
I
looked at it
right
at
away.
The office.
Yeah.
And him and our other coworker, Mr. The, J. They just didn't like it at all.
No,
Grandpa. Was it the Grandpa tiles? Joyner.
Yeah, was
not impressed.
Was it? Did you? Was it the tiles? Is that what y'all didn't like, or the fact that they removed the start button, or the fact that they?
I honestly
again, I
do
know.
Not like the Metro setup. I don't like.
You can't
it.
Call it Metro. That's not what the name of it is.
What's
you
it
use
called?
Anyway,
I just call
you?
It. I just call it the tiles setup. The tiles.
The tile setup. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of
it. I mean,
that.
It's optimized well, for touch, so
you,
it can
yeah.
be portable.
That's, my computer's not a touchscreen.
That's the problem that
it's
I have with it. If this was a tablet-only interface, then fine. I don't expect iOS.
I literally do not mind it for tablets and the mobile devices.
Right. If it was even if it was if I had a touchscreen if I had a touchscreen
yeah.
laptop, not that I ever want a touchscreen laptop, but if I had one, I feel like I would accept it and be okay with it more. But because I don't have a touchscreen laptop and I probably will never own one intentionally, like I'll accidentally maybe buy one, but I don't think that'll even ever happen.
Accidentally?
I'll accidentally purchase an $800 laptop, yeah.
That's honestly the most believable thing I've heard tonight.
Right. That is where the biggest defeat, in my opinion, was that we took a mobile platform and we made it something that has to be mainstream. And even though you have a desktop mode, you do have your desktop mode. And now that is my default mode. Like that with 8.1, I by default without any of the extra fluff add-ons or whatever to add a start menu button back or like I think Start 8 from Stardock had a program called Start 8 that it would automatically go to desktop mode and it would automatically put a start button and it would be just like Windows 7, but it would be themed like Windows 8 and it would do all this cool stuff. So essentially, you'd have Windows 8 that functioned. In the spirit of Windows 7, I don't know. I
feel like you don't use that button though. I know I don't. I mean, I just
do
the
not
button
use
on the
that
keyboard.
Button. In fact, I'm a Mac guy, Mac and Linux. So if it's not a console, then it's probably a Mac. And if it's not a Mac, then I'm probably playing games on it. And I don't need to be super productive. But even beyond that, to access anything, I use an app called Launchy, and I recommend everyone get it if they have a Windows computer. Launchy, Launchy. I think that's spelled correctly.
Good job, Matt.
Spell it, look, man. Spelling so hard sometimes.
It is.
Launchy, you hit Alt Space. It's just like Quicksilver or Spotlight for Mac. You hit Alt Space at the same time. It's a very quick combination.
Little text box pops up.
Yeah.
It can be themed. You type in the application and you can launch it.
You don't have to type in the whole thing. You type in, like, you want to do Chrome, CHR, enter, and it launches Chrome. And it's much quicker to do that.
Like, you know my life.
You know, that's it. That's how the world works.
Have you tried Alfred?
Alfred for Mac is fantastic.
That's the one
I use. They do not. No, I use Alfred on the Mac, and I forgot about that. They don't have Alfred. They don't have Alfred on Windows.
Right. Yeah.
But Launchy is just the exact same thing. It indexes all your programs, and it essentially eliminates the need for the mouse when you're launching something. Anything you want, you can take your hand off the mouse. Alt space, a couple characters, enter, and good. Most of the time, it will launch exactly what you wanted, and it'll do it fast.
If not, you can just pause for a second. It'll actually pull up a list of possible applications. As soon as you select the application you want, that set of characters will then be bound to that application.
Right. So if you it's like autocorrect, but you correct it once and it just continues to work.
To be fair though, on Windows you hit the start menu button, you just start typing and push enter.
Yeah.
There's no two keys.
Yeah, run.
But the problem I feel with that is I have to click somewhere in order to get to that ability.
Windows key.
How so?
Oh, the Windows key is a little different
key.
Because there is such a drastic change in my environment. If I'm in desktop mode and I hit Windows key, I'm not in desktop mode anymore. I'm all of a sudden back in Metro Wonderful Tile Land. And
the weird new search. I don't understand.
I do like the new search.
I don't I mean, it's not bad.
Oh,
but
I do too.
I don't
it actually
understand.
Shows you everything all in one instead
right.
of having to click on apps
I don't
apps
understand
or files.
Why they've been so consistent with the way they've laid out their OSs all the way back to, what, 95?
Probably Windows 95, yeah.
And now all of a sudden for 8, they're like, well, let's use the mobile.
Everything's moving to tablets.
Let's use
this. We're moving to a post-PC
era. My desktop
I feel like
is minus developers.
I feel like it's a generation shift. I feel like when 3.1 moved to 95 and they changed their entire Windows scheme, that was a generation shift. When we moved from Windows XP to Windows Vista, and that was an architectural generation shift, and now we're at you know Server 2012 and Windows 8, which is such a drastic departure from
8.1.
What we were using. So what?
8.1.
Now we're at 8.1.
Server 2012 R2.
It's such a big change. I feel that it is reflecting the society that we're starting to live in, that we sort of live in now. And everything is moving to tablets and phones and tiles. Everyone wants a tile, apparently. That's the new thing.
Apple is trying to do the same thing. They're trying to combine all their services. And eventually, yeah. I'm sure we're going to get there where it's kind of the same thing. I mean,
well, that was in the beginning. Whenever they came up with the iPhone, the big thing was that it ran OS X. It ran the Apple or the Macintosh operating system, and that's true. I mean, it does. It's severely gutted and scaled down, and you know, kind of.
And I feel that
changed.
Apple has kept their computer OS and their mobile OS very separate. They don't look similar. I don't boot up my Mac, and I don't have all these little icons all over it.
They're in the background. They do have some very similar sides to them. I feel like they've done a very good job of making those optional and by default not enabled. I feel like, you know, the launchpad was pushed real hard whenever the iPhone was sort of new. You know, now we're almost 10 years or over 10 years into iPhone world. You know, launchpad is, I think, still on the taskbar on the launcher. But it's not really something you ever click on. In fact, the most you do with it is drag it off and drop it in the trash to get it off your launcher. But I did install 8.1. It is a big change. My biggest problem was originally whenever I installed 8.1, I couldn't. I used dual monitors. I had an EVGA 570 classified. Fantastic card. Way overpriced, I think, if you were to buy one now. But it was having problems with dual monitors, like something simple as dual monitors.
Yeah, a lot of people had driver issues.
I would try and drag the mouse from one monitor into the other monitor. The mouse would stick to the original monitor screen, but then I could like hover over the icons on the other monitor as if the mouse was there, but the mouse wasn't.
How'd you fix it?
I didn't. I uninstalled Windows 8, and I went back to Windows 7. And I kept that. That was months ago.
I'm sold. Windows 7.
That was months ago.
And it works now.
I did change video cards. I have a 760 now. And there was another problem. Like that was fixed. Another problem was if you have an SSD. Apparently, there's a ton of features enabled in Windows 8 that are by default enabled, and that wreaks havoc on SSDs.
AHCI and stuff like that.
But yeah, that and like Superfetch, Prefetch. Yeah.
Oh man, well, let me go install
a lot of the
Windows 8.1 right now.
I mean, I had some of those issues on 7 too. Though,
once you disable it, I will say this: I do like Windows 8.1. It is very smooth now. But then again, I just reformatted my entire PC and only installed, you know, some games and Visual Studio 2013, some
it's
development
always
tools
smooth
and,
in the beginning.
Right, right. So
I've been using it like at work though.
I haven't had time to crap it all up yet. And
right,
but once that has, you know, some time, some burn-in time. Overall, though, I'm liking it. It doesn't seem like such a departure from Windows 7 because I realize you just got to let the start button go. Like that was then, this is now. I actually installed something because 8.1 brings back the start button. It doesn't function
it doesn't
function like a Windows 7 start button.
There's no point for it. I don't click it.
Right. So that's what I think a lot of people were hanging on to. You lost something.
You just had to kind of go to the corner and click, and it would bring up the tiles and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, right. And now when you click the start button.
It's understandable for a majority of users who are stupid users.
Right. They
don't understand that.
I think the start
button is what makes your computer work. They don't know. They think the Internet Explorer icon is the Internet.
Right, right. I think, some ignorance on the user's point of view. On the other side, I think it's just stability. People are comfortable clicking that button and going through the file structure. And if they want to get to my computer, maybe they don't realize that they could just click on Windows Explorer and then right-click on this PC. That's something I also changed. It's no longer my computer. It's this PC.
I noticed that when I was on Brandon's computer. it threw me off in the beginning.
Yeah, and the libraries are going. Because
I tried to
just kind of combine.
No, you can enable those. They're just hidden. They're still okay. There.
They're in the My PC list now, though. So they're all kind of together.
They've done a lot of little aesthetic things, and something that I really like is that it changes your taskbar and your theming based off of the wallpaper that you have. So I actually rotate wallpapers. My taskbars and my window borders change colors.
That was like based, that in 8, too.
Oh, was it? Yeah. It wasn't like that in 7. Oh,
okay.
Though.
Did you have 8? I don't remember.
I had 8 for a split second.
Right. Okay.
Long enough to update to figure out how I could force the 8.1 update past it.
I was thinking about dual partitioning.
You have an SSD, correct?
I do.
I wouldn't do it.
That's the thing.
I think it's a waste of space. You know, sink your eggs into one basket and just run with it. But
I'm stay with 7.
That's you know, I think it's a good idea for people to stick with 7.
Everything's already set up. I don't want to mess up my Plex server.
I mean,
I don't want to
I've been using 8.
Everything work.
Yeah. It is a significant amount of hassle to set things up and get things working. But in the end, I think it'll pay off. I'm certainly enjoying it right now. I'm able to play. I'm playing Saints Row 4. I'm playing some...
from a non-gaming standpoint, though, it's... Well, I guess that's mostly the user base, but...
Yeah, I mean, you gotta look at it from, I guess, every possible outlet. If you're just gonna play games, just put the Steam OS on there once it comes out. But if you want to do everything in a Windows world, and you have the option, again, like, if you're fine with Windows 7, you don't need anything to do, you know, brand new, bleeding edge, then don't spend the $150 to go get Windows 8 and then upgrade to 8.1. By all means, take your time and upgrade, potentially for free whenever you... You know, for free quotes, air quotes, for free whenever you buy a new laptop or desktop.
Right.
But if you're wondering if the grass is greener or whatever, download the preview. I think it's still available. It may not be the release candidate. May not be available. That's something we should look in and put in the show notes. But that's something we did not talk about. Let's go ahead and pitch the website real quick, and then we're going to cut to 2 songs. If you haven't checked out exppoints.com. Online, that's 2 P's. Red Bear, if he was here and not fighting demons, it would be double tap the P. That's his little catch. You want to go there, you want to check out, it's all of our previous shows, except the music episode, that one rogue musical episode. So go to that website, check out all of our old shows, check out any tech reviews or video game reviews that we may have up there, and also sign up to win Lost Planet 1. You could learn, win the Lost Planet 1 Extreme Conditions Colonial Edition for PC. You just have to follow the instructions in the blog post. Tell us a little bit of information about what your favorite console and favorite game characters are. Go to exppoints.com to check all that out. We are going to cut to a break real quick. This is Man on Fire by the Megas, and this is Wily by Mega Ran. This is off the 25th edition Mega Man Rocks
Mega
album.
Ran. Saw Mega him Ran. Live.
Yeah, saw Mega Ran live when they were playing with the Proto Men. It was pretty cool. He had his DJ with him. I think it was like K Murdoch or something. DJ Murdoch.
Yeah, something like that.
He was pretty cool too, I guess. We're going to go ahead and cut to that. I'm MG.
I'm Cap.
And I'm Brandon.
And you're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is still Experience Points, and I'm still MG. We got Cap.
I'm still Cap over here.
And we got Brando.
Brando, apparently.
Yep.
He's
the great, magnificent Brando.
Magnificent Brando.
So during the break, he didn't realize that we had entered the show and called him Brando. But that's your name. You're the magnificent, the abracadabra Brando. And you, from now on, you'll like RP and... In every D&D, I feel like any online games we play, you're going to be like a
wizard.
Should
be Brando. Go, yeah. Brando.
Gamertag, Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Name might be taken.
Change it tonight.
Name might be taken.
Brando, by an actual
Brando
magician.
Brando 1-2.
Yeah, the actual probability of you getting that tag is
very low.
Slim.
Very, very low. Towards
slim.
Zero.
Slim.
Several decimals, in fact. All right, so there's a trend in video games, I feel. We're losing backwards compatibility. No more backwards compatibility. We saw it with the Wii. Before the Wii U came out, it dropped GameCube.
Didn't the later revisions of the PS3?
Yeah, yeah.
The later revisions
of PS3.
I think
from the halfway point all the way to the latest and greatest.
I always wanted a PS3.
That could,
and then it killed it for me. I was furious.
Originally, you could play PS1 and PS2 and
PS3
games.
I have tons of PS2 games. Right. I still have a PS2, so I can play my PS2 games.
That's the best machine to play it, because My 60 gig original.
Last machine to play it.
Yeah. So the trend that I see is that all of these game companies that they made these really awesome games back in the day. You got Namco and a few other ones. You know, they made Soul Calibur, they made Metal Gear Solid. What they're doing is they're re-releasing upscaled versions.
HD remixes
like Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy X and X2. We're seeing a lot of these HD versions. God of War even did it. An HD version of compilations. And that's why I own several HD remakes, because I want them in HD. But that's because I didn't own them originally on the SD media. So I guess the question is, how do y'all feel about whenever you buy a game or already own a game? Let's say you own both God of Wars for PS2, Cap.
I own, I think, all the God of Wars.
You own God of War 3 for
PS3.
PS3, even though you don't own a PS3.
No, I played it on yours.
Okay, so
I beat it in one night.
Wow. Right. He rocked through it.
That game was awesome.
If you were presented with the opportunity and you had a PS3 and you still owned a PS2, would you buy the HD versions, even though you already own the SD versions of the game?
I don't think I would. I don't think that's far enough back.
Okay, so it's
I
not
understand
like,
it's supposed to be a big graphics jump, but I don't think God of War and God of War 2 were so bad graphically that I would need a brand new, just better graphics of the same game.
Would you say that it was worth using the same disc? Like, you know, consolidation of media?
Down to one disc?
Yeah.
That might be a little more worth it.
Okay, so not only the HD, not only the better sound, not that, and I'm assuming you live in a theater, you have 5.1, you've got,
yeah, I do,
you know,
actually,
all this stuff, really, really, really good, you know, quality in the setup to play. So you think that if it consolidated your media down, maybe three or four games or two at least games into one disc, then and HD and better sound and maybe achievements. I don't know if achievements or game stuff like that.
That's totally my thing.
Trophies. Yeah, you do trophies.
I'm down for achievements.
So I bring this up because they are doing the...
I mean, if you're going to throw in just an entire bundle of stuff, I have to grab it up.
Okay, so
it has to be worth it.
Because there's...
why aren't we sponsored
Soul Calibur? Soul Calibur 2 HD is coming out for PlayStation and Xbox November 20th. So only...
What was Soul Calibur 2 on?
Soul Calibur 2 was it was in the arcade. It was on PS2. It was on GameCube. And I believe it was on
I've only played it a little
Xbox,
bit.
The original Xbox.
I've only played it a very little bit.
It's a 3D fighting genre game. It's...
My arch nemesis, Harris Man, amazing at that game.
Yeah, no, it's a tournament style game, and I believe it's really, really good, very popular. But I'm not sure. I don't know. It's like Dead or Alive. Like, I played Dead or Alive on the Dreamcast, and I really it also was on Soul Calibur on the Dreamcast. I think that's what it debuted on as a console. I played a lot of those games early on, and it looked really good, and I feel that. The controllers really worked well. I don't know if that specific game really works as an HD remake, but like I own Kingdom Hearts because I like Kingdom Hearts 1. But I like Kingdom Hearts. That's point one. Point two is it consolidates three games into one disc. Two of the games I would have to buy separate platforms to play because they're mobile platforms, like the Game Boy Advance and the DS. And it's HD. They offered in a whole lot of HD content. Trophies and achievements are one of them. So, I mean, do you feel that you're okay with dropping the backwards compatibility if you know that really good games are going to come out and be remade?
I think it's very tricky. Because here's my view on the spectrum. Either the game is so new still that the graphics aren't that big of a deal. And if it's, you know, let's ignore all the extra stuff. Let's just think, you know, HD Remix is meant to be, here's your same game, looks way better, we've improved it.
Right.
Either it's so new that it seems unnecessary, or the game is so old that it completely skews everything. I remember whenever they redid the Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
I had Mortal Kombat 3 for Super Nintendo.
Yep.
Loved playing that game. The new one came out, Ultimate. I was like, Mortal Kombat? Yes. I saw the gameplay. I was like, it doesn't feel the same.
But that wasn't the same game.
It wasn't. I mean, it's a fighting game. How different can it be?
Well, right. Don't say that on the air because Street Fighter and Tekken and those are different crowds.
I didn't mean like
Capcom
different types
versus
of games.
Tatsunoku,
I mean, when you look at Mortal Kombat, they're like, oh, this is new Mortal Kombat.
So you're talking about continuations
game.
Of the series and evolution of a series. You're not talking about the HD re-release. Because, like, what I'm talking about is, so you got Metal Gear Solid 2 for PlayStation 2. It came out, they had the Sons of Liberty, and then they had, I think, Persistence or Subsistence or Substance. I think that was what it was. Substance was a Super Mega Edition. It was out for PlayStation 2 and the original Xbox. Years later, they released a mobile version for in HD for, I believe, the Vita, and an HD for HD version where it was 2 and 3 and Peace Walker for PlayStation 3. And then they just released the collection, which was 1, 2, 3, 4, and a few of the other ones that you couldn't get. They consolidated it as a collection, as a game series collection. Those games were upgraded. The textures were updated. The math was redone for HD resolutions, because a lot of that's math, and you know, you have to upscale it. You can't just say double the size, because all the textures will stretch badly.
That's not how that works.
No, that's not how that works.
Well, let's get your opinion on it, because as you know, no offense to anyone, I do not like Metal Gear
Solid.
You're
not a Metal Gear Solid.
I'm not a fan of the series.
You're not solid.
What did you
enough.
Think about that?
Well, you know, you said
you loved them.
You're on one side. I'm on the exact opposite side. Where
I see. Which one did you play? Whenever you lived in Holden, which one did you have? Did you play 18 times? I saw you play it all 18
that
times.
That was two. That was two. Yeah, and I mastered that game. I got all the dog tags and held everybody up. Didn't kill anyone. Killed everyone in the next playthrough. And you know, I remember you getting all the
replay throughs.
That's before. Look, and I wish I would have had achievements then, because I'd have all of them. I feel, I'd have the achievement for having all the achievements, which is a paradox, but okay. Because in order to get it, anyway, I'll explain that later. But I love games that are re-released that are HD, that are so, like, they're golden games. They're not just greatest hits; they're the greatest hits, and I feel like the Metal Gear series, the Metal Gear Solid series, is that type of game series. So whenever they release a collection bundle, I already own the HD version of...
You already own them all anyways.
I already own the original twice. The original MG or PS1 version of
MG
Metal
version.
Gear Solid.
MG
yeah, the MG,
special version. They actually made a special version for Matthew.
That's right. I already own the original version of that, and I know that that's not going to look better because it's PlayStation 1. There's just not enough magic in the world, Brando. You can't do it. But, you know, the PlayStation 2 version of Metal Gear Solid 2 and Metal Gear Solid 3, those looked good enough, I feel, especially Metal Gear Solid 3. I think it pushed the limits on a lot of the hardware at the time. It looked good enough at the time on that current hardware.
It did look good.
That if you gave it more, you know, more resolution, and you made it 60 frames a second instead of 30 frames per second, I feel like it would look pretty good. I already own the HD content, though, because I already own the HD collection. So then what the problem runs into is in the total collection, the most recent collection, if it's everything but Metal Gear Solid 5 and Phantom Pain, which has yet to been released, if it's everything but that in an HD package, in a consolidated package, for an appropriate price, and I deem that to be less than $60, if all those criteria are met,
check,
then I feel like that is totally worth it for me. I love the game series. I can't say that I would do it with many other game series, though. I can't say if you offered me, I'm not a Nintendo guy at all, but if you offered me every Mario game that was ever made on one disc, on one, you know, Blu-ray disc, if the Wii U ever did Blu-rays or whatever on the next-gen console, if you offered me every Mario game, I can't say I would really care enough to say, yeah, I'll get that.
Yeah, I'd definitely buy that.
I
would, too.
I don't know. I feel like the best Mario
games...
You
wouldn't even have to do much. If you just went back and did all the original Marios in the Mario 3 graphics,
yeah,
I would do that.
So just 16-bit.
It doesn't even have to be that.
Well,
like,
they did that. They did in All Stars.
The brand new. Yeah, I remember All Stars. I have
Super
that.
Nintendo. Yeah,
that was a great game.
That was a great game. That was a compilation.
I mean, that's pretty much.
That's exactly what we're talking
about. It was a compilation.
For people that don't know,
technically an HD remix for the time. It updated the graphics of the first game.
It doubled the graphics. It took 8-bit Mario 1 and 8-bit Mario 2 and 8-bit Mario 3, and lost levels.
Those are so hard.
It wasn't released in America, and then it was in All Stars. They took that and they bumped it up to 16-bit graphics. So everything had 16-bit graphics.
That was such a great game.
Sometimes it was actually crazy, because one version of the game had, I believe, one version had Super Mario World, and one version had Yoshi's Island, and then was one version that didn't have anything extra. I don't know.
That's what I had.
Yeah,
I didn't have anything extra. I had 1, 2, and 3 in lost levels.
Right, right.
I was completely happy with that.
Right, yeah, that's worth it, I feel. But
had Super Mario World on a separate cartridge.
But look back in the day, like we used to not care about backwards compatibility because of the regular Nintendo and the Super Nintendo were
totally
not compatible.
Totally different.
You couldn't.
They're
put,
so different.
You couldn't put the games in. I mean, they were physically different. They
spoiled us with one, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2.
Spoiler
right,
alert.
Right, right. So when PlayStation 1 came out and then PlayStation 2 came out, we're like, well, we're using the same discs.
This is awesome.
Why not?
Might as well put it in there. We'll build on the technology.
I enjoyed that so much.
Yeah. I felt like.
I still play PS1 games on my PS2, which I still have.
Right. And it's still working. It's still working
it
fine.
It's still working.
It's 15-year-old technology.
I wouldn't say fine.
Well, mine's working fine. I have a fat PS2, and it's working fine. And I don't know. I feel like we got into the – you know, it was a generation of – I think it was generation 4 and 5 or maybe 5 and 6. This is on Wikipedia. Check it out if you want. But – so the GameCube and the Wii, those were backwards
mini
compatible.
Discs.
Those were backwards compatible.
Yeah, I was actually pretty. I like that. How because the GameCube had those little mini discs,
right? But the Wii, used full size disc.
But the Wii would like take it up and sync it up in the middle of its
somehow.
CD
with I imagine there's a conveyor belt and little Mario's in there, like here you go, hand the disc off. But it's a disc. You know, that's how I imagine that the inside of a Wii works. I guess the Wii Mini, which we'll talk about later,
I can see that.
Smaller Marios. They're baby Marios
baby
that
Marios.
Are, that, you know, they don't speak. They just pacifier.
See this? We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. So the I feel that
I'm already outraged.
I feel like that's how we used to be. We used to be, yeah, we're cool with it because it's the next greatest thing. Double the bits.
You can't argue.
You know,
you can't argue with that logic. Would you ever buy an Ace Sugar Mix? Uh-huh. You already have.
Right, right. And yeah.
You fall into my trick.
It's like a, yeah, there you go. But the Soul Calibur 2 HD Remix, I probably won't pick it up, but I know a lot of people will, which is fine.
I guess the main reason I'm not for HD Remixes anymore, I don't play console anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I think now that PCs are affordable, because they used to not be. And
you can build them to be more powerful than consoles.
Yep, in a heartbeat.
Easy, and they're still more affordable than the consoles.
Yeah. That actually brings up sort of our next point.
Great with segues.
They are not more affordable than the consoles.
They
be. They are in a way. In a way.
Okay, and I know you picked the absolute best thing.
For doing business
you're
and all
like
the other stuff you have to do with games.
Computer.
Yeah. So again, it is a you don't do word processing or image editing on a console.
Yeah.
You just play games. So if you built a computer just to play games. You could, I believe, get it better because again, you could spend $500 on a computer that is mass produced. Because again, you can't say, "Well, build me a $500 computer," because at that point, you're saying I'm not mass producing these computers. If I could, I would get bulk discounts. I would be able to sell this and build this for much less.
Right.
Which is what they're doing with the Steam boxes. They're able to give you a $1,000 Titan graphics card scaled down with 8 gigs of RAM and a couple hundred gigs of SSD. They're able to do that at $1,000 when the graphics card in any computer.
Do they have a price yet?
There are price ranges, but you know, and there's just this supposition at this point. But
is it going to play Half-Life 3?
I mean, when it comes out, if it comes out, if they can manage to find the 3 font, the 3 in some of their packs, I feel like that's what they're doing. If you've got mass-produced market, then you can lower the cost.
Right.
So I feel like for what PCs are and the shells that they go in, you can change it much quicker and much better than you can a console. And that's why consoles, I believe, shouldn't be updated. Consoles should be a point at which you develop for, you know, for 10 years, let's just say, or 5 years, and then you replace it with a new milestone, a new
right.
point. And that actually kind of brings up the next point, because the Ouya, which was a Kickstarter thing a while back, it sort of started, or at least got a lot of press for starting, or being a pinnacle in this Android video game console thing. I have one.
How'd that turn up?
It wasn't what I wanted. I felt that it was a good gateway. It was a good key to something that was better.
It's gateway. But it's a gateway console.
It was a gateway
console.
So for
console. Those of us who don't know what that is, can you explain?
I'm sorry. The Ouya is a Kickstarter console that is running a modified Android platform.
Yeah.
It's essentially an Android console that it'll run Android games, it'll run Minecraft. It has a controller with a touchscreen or a touchpad on it. Before any controller was really doing that, it did it. It's Bluetooth, it's open-ended, you can modify it, it's got HDMI out, it's all wireless, but it's got Ethernet too. It's just
you can play Angry Birds.
You can play Angry Birds. It's a little tiny, honestly, it's like a 3x3x3 cube. It's this tiny little cube.
So it's just supposed to play Android games?
It does Android games, but it really could be modified. It could run Steam, it could run Plex, it can run XBMC. It's open.
I'm sitting here wondering from a gaming standpoint.
That's what
I don't
saying.
Understand what
that's
the
what
point is.
Too.
So Android games have become. It's got a Tegra GPU CPU. Tegra is an NVIDIA technology that offers pretty high budget, high production cost and value and quality media. For, you know, variable amounts of heat, you know, it doesn't have a fan. There are, you know, almost no moving parts, I think, in the Ouya. And yet it seems to operate very well in what it does. It's just not for me because I realize, like, I don't play enough console to say that I need every console out there. I don't need a Chromecast. I don't need this. I don't need a game stick. Game stick's actually a thing.
Game stick.
It's another Android gaming console. I'd like to say that I would want an Xbox, maybe not an Xbox One just yet.
The cube didn't work, so it turned into a stick. A stick design.
The Ouya is releasing a new controller next year, and they've actually came out and said that, because again, the controller was not the nicest controller. It was weird. It fell apart at some random points. Like magnets were used to hold the battery covers on, and or not magnets, but these weird.
Say, that doesn't sound good.
These weird retention things. It felt okay until you started trying to use it. Like if you just held it, you were like, oh, this isn't bad. And then you try to use it, and you're like, well, this is possibly the worst thing in the world. They're re-releasing the controller, better version of the controller. It'll totally work with with the regular version of the console. But then they said that yearly updates are going to be made to the hardware, yearly revisions. And I feel like that's a problem because
how are they going to do that? They're going to mail you new parts?
You will not
like
get
you
the
get
revisions
a new
whenever
box?
Whenever you buy a next the next like if you went
you have
a,
to buy one every
whenever
year.
You bought an Ouya at Best Buy right now, assuming they're at Best Buy. You go and buy an Ouya right now at your game store, and you're like, sweet, I got September's Ouya, and then next year September 2013,
yeah.
And then next year October 2014, you're like, oh, a new Ouya came out. You'll go and spend another $150 or $250 and buy the new one. And there may be some slight difference or whatever, but it will be different.
But,
and I feel like that's a problem with consoles because, again, you shouldn't want to update your console that much. Like, that's a big – I feel even if it's not a big update.
So they're not taking the generational hardware. They're not saying, okay, this is generation one. Like, we're going to take a break for 5 years, kind of sell stuff, and do the latest and greatest.
Right. I feel like
they're kind of just doing little increments.
Trying to stay on the bleeding edge because that's sort of what I guess they think they
for
have
Angry
to
Birds.
Do.
All right, guys. Last year's model was great. We've added an extra gig. Resell.
I think that'll be something. You know, they're adding. They'll add a few different things.
They'll tweak a little things, maybe optimize, but that just seems a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I wouldn't want this to happen from a PS4, from an Xbox One, or from even a Wii U standpoint. I would not want updates that changed it at a fundamental level. And again, that's why whenever they released the PS3 and they cut backwards compatibility out. I remember buying my original PS3, my 60 gig.
With backwards compatibility.
It had backwards compatibility and it was advertised and it had an other OS.
You could put an OS on it.
You could put, I had Linux.
I know it wasn't crazy.
You could put Yellow Dog or Ubuntu or CentOS on the machine.
I do remember surfing the internet on this PS3.
It's a full-fledged computer.
It was a computer.
I think you can do that normally.
I programmed Java.
No, you can't. They got that. That's
I thought that was just a built-in like.
They got rid of that.
No, they,
that was
so,
on my PS3.
So you could install Linux and install programs that ran on Linux because you were running Linux. It was a full-fledged computer. I programmed Java. My first programming course in Southeastern programmed Java on my PS3. And it was great because I didn't have the money. I just dropped $600 on a fancy Blu-ray player by everyone's standards. And, you know, games were $60, $70 sometimes, depending on the game. I didn't have money to spend on the latest and greatest computer, too. So, like,
just
you know.
Just turn it into a computer.
Just turn it into a computer. And it worked. It worked really well.
First came out, that's why, in my opinion, the PS3 beat the Xbox.
Right.
When they first came out because you got a PS3. You also had a computer.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, they changed it and they screwed everything up, but no.
I missed this in the show notes earlier, but Tales of Symphonia, the 2003 GameCube game, is actually also getting an HD re-release on PS3.
It's also getting a bigger disc.
It is getting a bigger disc. It'll be much
twice
much
twice the disc.
Since we were talking about HD and re-releases and remixes and stuff like that, a lot of that kind of centralizes around graphical changes and upgrade resolution changes. Is resolution that big of a deal for you? Most games aren't in 1080p yet. They're at 720p max. And that's for, you know, a lot of reasons, being able to push 720p at, say, 60 frames. It's much more achievable than 1080p at 60 frames. But that is that such a big deal? Not for HD remakes, but for current games that are being released brand new. Is that a big deal for you? That, you know, resolution-wise, is that it?
Games... It's funny because games I play are in 1080p.
What games do you? Okay, so what
game? The main game I spend most of my time playing is World of Warcraft.
Okay, so you're saying it's 1080p in that it is in 1920 by 1080 resolution.
Yes,
it is in HD.
Yes,
but the graph. I mean,
220 frames.
Okay,
I gotta say.
Okay, so you're saying that you're getting a decent resolution wise. You would not play the same game full screen in 720, even though you could. You wouldn't.
I don't even think I would notice a difference unless I had a side-by-side comparison. I know.
I think everything.
This is probably. Brandon and I were talking about this the other day.
I think everything would be just bigger. Like, everything would be bigger and slightly more grainy.
Maybe, yeah.
But, I mean, Brandon, you play, what, Final Fantasy 14, right?
Final Fantasy 11.
So you play Final Fantasy 11?
You still play 11?
I got locked out of my 14 account, and I'm still waiting for them to.
What did you do to get banned?
I didn't get banned.
Oh, okay.
For 14? Yeah. I had a one-time token on my iPhone, and I reformatted the phone, and I can't get into my account now.
I did that to get with the Blizzard Authenticator.
Are you still waiting on support? Because Blizzard...
To call them. They make you call them, so...
Well, you call Blizzard, and you have it done in 5 minutes.
I'm busy during the day, so...
So, when you log into Final Fantasy XI, I mean, this game is...
I mean, again, it's got the resolution of 1080p, but it just doesn't – the graphics aren't there. But I don't really mind that personally.
Like, right, but what I'm saying is so look at a game like StarCraft who, again – and we're not talking about HD remakes. Look at a game like StarCraft 1, the original StarCraft. It used to be 480 by like 320 or 640 by 480.
Like 800 by 600?
Yeah, 800 by 600. I think it was a max whatever. Whenever you wanted to play this on a modern day system,
I've been rocking to max settings.
You have to, yeah. Like you can do max settings, but the it would just stretch it and everything.
Right. Yeah.
So full screen and 1080p, I don't feel that those are. I don't know. I don't feel that those are such a big resolution change because the game. It's like playing Super Mario Brothers in 1080p. Like if you're playing Mario 1,
it's like playing Mario 1 on a projector.
Right. Right. Whenever the pixels, instead of being one pixel, they're 10 pixels, 10 by 10. You know, that's a problem.
Probably so, more than a tenfold increase, but.
But yeah, so I bring that up because Call of Duty Ghosts has a notable resolution advantage on PlayStation 4 in its native resolution of 720 or 1080p.
That's not something you're going to be able to just see playing. You're not going to be able to be like playing the PS4 and then next week you play the Xbox. You'd be like, ugh.
Yeah,
who has covered my screen in dirt?
Yeah, I feel that it's something that the tech guys can go, well, you know, the PS4 obviously is now better. You know, hands down, Gauntlet is passed, Gauntlet is tossed. We won the game, guys. That's what I feel it is. It's for this tech guys to say
we're getting,
PS4
we're getting
is
to
better.
The point where the graphics and models are so crisp that you're not even going to be a human eye can't tell.
I feel like it's now what TV are you using? What monitor are you using?
Right.
How does your controller feel? How does the sound go? Is the story good? You know, you're caring about a lot of other things other than graphics, and that is something that I feel
you can only get so close to actually looking like real life. And at that once you hit that point where it looks like it's real life, you can't go anymore. You can't go up anymore.
I don't know.
Hyper realism.
Because you know it's
better than real life.
You know it looks so real.
Oculus Rift.
So yeah, if you have a PS4, you're definitely going to notice. I guess you know that technically there will be. An update, if you have an Xbox or an X-Bone, you will, I guess, notice that it's not as good. If you have both, you know, maybe that's something. You know, you have two TVs and you play them side by side. Whatever. If you're playing Ghost, I'm pretty sure you're not worried about
bragging rights.
How? Yeah, is that what it is?
It's bragging rights.
You should get for
my console is better than yours. It looks better.
I feel like you know, there's so many PS4, especially with these technical feats or whatever. For whenever you get a PS4 and you turn it on, you automatically get the achievement getting a PS4, have a PS4, winning at games or something. Yeah, something like that. But
so this is just the Call of Duty.
Just this game.
Just the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, both consoles can output 1080p,
right.
And I believe both consoles can do 4K resolutions. So, I mean, they are definitely, quote-unquote, future-proof for this foreseeable future. For the next decade, I feel like if we go beyond 4K, if we've maxed out 4K, we are hitting some major innovations. But, you know, I don't feel like it's going to – I don't feel like the quality is purely about the consoles. They feel like these games being able to push and have 1080p frame, you know, 1080p at 60 frames a second, that's where we're really heading. That's where we should be heading.
I mean, it won't really matter because experience points is going to have a Battlefield 4 team.
We're going to have a Battlefield 4 team. We are going to be we're going to be – I want to co-op the main story, and then I want to co-op all the multiplayer.
I'm right here.
Oh, it'll be so good. Is that
I'm
it?
I'm going to get
I'm
it, too.
Right here.
Oh, okay.
Got Grandpa Joiner getting it?
Grandpa Joiner.
That's what we're going to do. We just need to convince everyone, like, in our circle of friends to get it. And we'll start like a, we need to do a, well, I guess we all need to get Grand Theft Auto. We're getting Battlefield.
You can make clans, right, in Battlefield 4?
Yeah, yeah.
Experience points clan.
We need to get
there you go.
Battlefield 4 on PC.
Go to the
Nobody
site.
Nobody get it on.
Go to the site. If you want to be in the clan, go to the site. EXP points.
Oh, you messed it up.
Double tap the P. There you go.
.com.
.com. Tell us you want to sign up. For the Battlefield 4
we'll
client.
Go ahead and we'll post looking for members. LFM.
Looking for LFM.
So why PC though?
Because the problem with Grand Theft Auto is that, you is that go. I have it on PS3 and Brando over here has it on Xbox.
I don't have it at all.
And we can't play together because apparently that's impossible. We haven't gotten that far in life yet. So we're going to go ahead and cut to a song and then we're going to end it out talking about some crazy DRM stuff. This is The Geeks Will Inherit the Earth by I Fight Dragons and Skull Crusher Mountain by Jonathan Colton. MG.
What a great show. I'm Cap.
And I'm Brando, apparently.
And you're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points, still MG, but not much longer. Who we got in the booth?
Cap.
Brando.
And we are going to talk, we're going to end the show with some talks of Passport and it going away, and then we're going to talk about the new Nintendo console. That's not really that new. So we've all played online games, and online games used to be really simple, where you'd get the game, and you'd go online, and you'd play the game, and then when you're ready to quit, you would just quit. And that would be the entire thing. When you got rid of the game, you got rid of the game.
Take the CD out of the CD tray.
Right. It was a simpler time, but it seems like in the quest for more money, game designers and game developers have changed it around, and we've run into some snags. Most notably, our systems like Passport that essentially offer gamers the ability to update and buy new online codes. So if they bought a used version of a game,
they've gone too far.
Then you can play online. Before you play online, you have to buy a code to do so. Passport, the Ubisoft version of this, is going away. It's actually being discontinued past Assassin's Creed 4. But I actually can't believe that it's been around this long. It's been around since, I think, Assassin's Creed Revelations or whatever, like the multiplayer for that game. I have never really played a multiplayer Assassin's Creed game.
Me either.
And
is it just on the Assassin's Creed, or is it just Ubisoft in general?
Ubisoft has done a few things with DRM.
But look at their games. What games are a majority of people playing that this applies to? I can't really think of many big hit multiplayer Ubisoft games.
No, I can't either. I feel like they're out there, and I just don't play them. Like, they're not my type of games. Even though I love Assassin's Creed, for the single-player components in it. I would probably never, ever play the multiplayer component.
Like Passport's going away. I never even knew it existed.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Right.
So.
I knew this existed with other games. Sony Entertainment Online did Starhawk, which is a spiritual successor and sequel to like Warhawk, which was a big selling point, I feel, at some point. People got PS3s to play Warhawk because it was so awesome. It used the six axis, even though that's just a terrible...
Multiplayer only when it came out.
Right. It's still multiplayer.
It's a multiplayer
only game. It was a fantastic game.
That was the first game I remember that it came out as multiplayer only.
Right. And you were like, well, I guess Counter-Strike's multiplayer only, even though you could play with bots, but...
Ouch.
You know. But anyway, so... This game came out, Starhawk, spiritual successor. It had a similar thing. In order to play online, you had a Starhawk like activation code. And if you sold the game, say, to a local retailer or whatever, and they put it on their shelves as
GameStop.
A used game, GameStop, EB Games, you know, wherever.
Game Trader.
If you sold this or even gave this to your buddy, just, you know, out of the kindness of your heart, gave it to him, and he wanted to play the multiplayer component, he would then have to rebuy an online code.
Now, how much is this code compared to the actual?
I think
the
code's like $5 or $10. So when you look at it though, it's like 1/5 the cost of the game though. So yeah, it's cheaper than buying a brand new game, but it's just more money for something that you know in all regards you rebought the game so you could play the game. I feel
that's like,
like
trying to break into a new sort of. like way to make money.
Like a fringe diminishing returns way of generating money.
I feel like people aren't going to trade their games in as much anymore, though.
Especially in a digital world, I would say predominantly over 90% of the games downloads. I buy are digital downloads.
I don't buy hard copies.
So why are they trying to break into this market and make this money?
This isn't a new thing. In fact, the passport is
This is going away,
Brando. The passport is the last... like the last bastion of what they did, and after Assassin's Creed 4, and I'm sure the only reason it's in there is because the systems are in place already. So it's just easier to leave the spiderweb together than it is to tear it all down and try to like patch it so that you don't have to do that.
Brando, just go ahead, cast a haste spell. Catch back up to us.
Get through it faster.
Because it's going away.
So it's going away. It's over with. What's not over with is the Wii. The Wii isn't dead yet. Is coming back. It came out in 2006. It was GameCube backwards compatible. Then they got a re-release, the next version of it. Not the Wii U. Like, the next version of the Wii didn't have GameCube support anymore. And then they had the Wii U release. But they're having trouble selling the Wii U's. So now they've released...
I feel like they snuck that console out. I don't remember a big...
Wii U either.
Because Wii came out with PS3 and Xbox 360. And they're like...
Well, the Wii U...
Now we're talking about PS4... and Xbox One.
I didn't hear that much about Wii U.
Nintendo's already been like, hey guys, Wii U.
They rushed it out there, and they started the generation. They started the Generation 9 or Generation 8, of the new HD generation. They started it. But they started it in such an anticlimactic way because nobody wants to play games for the Wii U. It's not a fun console yet. They're saying like, oh yeah, you know, we got like our version of Gears of War, and we've got our version of Assassin's Creed 3, and we got all this cool stuff for Wii U. But
On your Wii U, and then give someone else control of the TV and play on your controller.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel
which is a giant Game Boy.
I don't feel that the Wii U is really a console so much as it's a gimmick, and that's what I felt. I initially felt that way about the Wii, like, oh yeah, you can waggle your sticks and play the games and
it's
everything.
More of a party type group,
activity. It's more of a party game, and they do have some very good games on the Wii U.
It almost seems like it should be a Wii peripheral.
Yes, I feel like exactly. That's how I feel it should be. But to help the Nintendo as a whole, they're releasing the Wii Mini, which is this tiny, tiny little Wii console. It's coming packaged with Mario Kart Wii, Mario Kart Wii Racing or whatever.
That's a good game.
And it comes with a Wii Motion Plus and a nunchuck controller.
That's good.
I mean, how do y'all feel about this? $99, not a steep price point.
It's supposed to be a more affordable Wii.
It seems like,
I don't understand.
More affordable from a $129. I mean,
that's expensive.
I'm not sold because it doesn't even come with Netflix.
It doesn't have internet at all. No internet capabilities.
The Wii U is a $300 console now, so it's only $100. It's only $100 less than the PS4, and the PS4 is not even out yet. It's only, I think, $200 cheaper than the Xbox One. So I don't feel that for what the Wii U offers, it's really worth the money, you know, worth the price of admission. But for the Wii Mini, I look at it like, oh, yeah, so...
I don't see how I can get any more Mini.
They could release it on a handheld. It could be in, like, the 3DS, but it'd be like the Wii DS, and it would be...
This is one thing you got to give it to Nintendo. Their consoles are backwards compatible.
Well, to a point. I mean, the Wii Mini is not backwards compatible with the GameCube.
But it's backwards compatible with the other Wii games, which it's supposed to be. But that's the point.
Well, I mean, that's the same. It's the same console.
How much smaller can this thing really be if it still has to fit the Wii disc? Because the Wii's not so super larger than a Wii disc.
Right. Like, I feel like they'd have to change the medium in order for it to work. And that's sort of what they did with the PlayStation Portable and the PlayStation 3. You could get PS1 games and put it on the PSP, and you could play your PlayStation 1 games. And now you can do it with the PS Vita. You could just change the medium around, play the same games on there, and it's smaller and it's integrated, and that's fine.
But with the Wii Mini, you can still take the same disc.
Right, because there's no SD card slot. Netflix.
There's no internet.
There's no network connectivity, so any of your multiplayer games.
It comes with Mario Kart, though. I'm sold.
It does come problem with Mario Kart. It seems like I remember at Christmas, you know, when and again, this is coming out November 17th. Right around Christmas time is the perfect time to release something that grandmothers and aunts that rarely see these kids, they'll go to the stores and they'll buy. They'll be like, well, I could buy him a set of cologne or, you know, the bod, whatever. Or I can go and I can get a Wii Mini because...
For $60 more.
But no, that's what I feel like. MP3 players came out. Everyone got CD players for Christmas because they were on sale. They were fire selling all of these things. And I feel like if that's what it's doing, if that's what they're doing, they're saying, let's go ahead and put it in a smaller, more, you know, kind of cool, smaller package and minify everything about it and give it – because maybe they looked and said, well – they don't need to have any expandability. They don't need to be able
Netflix, I mean, I have eight other devices sitting next to my TV that can do Netflix.
Right, and maybe for a kid's room, they don't need Netflix. Maybe they have satellite. They don't need, you know, they have a DVR.
I didn't like the internet browser. You have to kind of move it around. Right, I figured, it took forever to get through and type.
A blog makes a really good point. They say for people where this is their first game console, it's not such a bad compromise because it's got a backlog of child games that really don't have any internet connectivity because you don't want your 7-year-old going online anyway. You know, it's not like it's a PS3 with no, you know, network connectivity. It's a Wii. It's not going to be updated, obviously, past a certain point. I mean, this sort of signals the doom for Wii because you're not going to be able to update this thing. As far as I know, no SD card, so no external media. They may have like a USB.
There is one thing I read about that this is kind of a little ridiculous. It doesn't use component video.
What does it do? What does it use?
Composite.
RCA. Wow. Okay. So it is an SD console then. It will. I mean, complete standard definition.
Right. That's what the Wii was. So.
Well, yeah, but you can use component on the Wii.
Yeah. And I use component on my Wii.
And I actually use HDMI on my Wii. I have a little adapter that connects and outputs HDMI. So I mean. It doesn't really upscale. I mean, I get it at 480p, but you know, for what that's worth, most YouTube is higher quality than that.
I mean, you can't really complain for $99 though.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
You can complain for $99. For 30 more, you can just go get the
that's
Wii.
That's what I was getting to next. All this other stuff. So
right,
they're still selling the Wii right like alongside this, it. For $30 more.
If they wanted to really make a more affordable option.
Which last push.
If you rip off features and you make it smaller, it seems like you're trying to make a more affordable option. The price drop is not enough to make it affordable enough to not just go get a Wii.
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree. Unfortunately, we are out of time. We are going to have to end the show, but I think it ain't fair. I know. It is. We looked up travesty in the dictionary, and it described the fact that the show has to end. But we'll be back next Wednesday. Hopefully Red Bear will be back. But if he isn't, we'll go ahead and we'll try to get Brando and Cap back again. They seem to be pretty good.
Even
if he is back. We ran out of mics at that point. Oh, so man. Y'all might have to
share.
That's right. Okay. We're going to end
bring
the
your
show.
Own mic to a radio station.
We're going to end the show on... This Gigantic Robot Kills by MC Lars. You're listening to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU Experience Points. I've been MG.
I have been Cap.
And Brando.
Billy built a robot in his parents' garage because he had a list of problems that he needed to...
Scott is not dead.